Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If it's the top of the hour 3 Central Time, you're hearing the live broadcast, and we would like to share it with you. If you have a question, we'd love to hear from you right now at 844-322-2742. Both in Canada and the U.S., toll-free 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Our conversation this month is how do we live as believers in this crazy world in which we live in now? And boy, there's lots of crazy stuff going on. Wow. Over the weekend, the UN sponsored some sanctions against North Korea. Yeah. North Korea has some interesting words in response to that. I think you were just sharing those with us, Bob.
President Trump just issued a statement saying if North Korea escalates the nuclear threat, they will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
Yeah, so
wow, the words are flowing back and forth.
So that crazy leader over there had said, hey, your sanctions don't scare us. We're going to continue to do our thing, and we're going to continue to show our might and that sort of thing. And this is the response from Trump. And, you know, it's tense. It's a scary situation. And if they launch a missile and toward us, you know, what is that going to mean? Where's it going to land? And, you know, it's scary. Yeah. It is really, really scary stuff that, you know, we thought would be, you know, if something like this happened, it wouldn't affect us. It would be the next generation or well into the future. But it's right here. It's right now. So how do we as Christians respond to this? How do we handle this type of news? What are we supposed to do as believers in Christ? Well, certainly we can't solve the North Korean crisis there. We can't really do anything to solve that. That's between governments, and we pray for our government leaders. We pray for those in charge that they will tap into the very wisdom of God and to be able to delicately handle this in such a way that it's win-win. That we can feel safe and secure and continue to live out our freedom as American citizens, and that any crisis is averted. Mm-hmm. Right. That's what we can do as believers. We can pray specifically, but we can also go about doing our business as believers, living this holy life, this different life. Peter talked about that in his first letter. He said, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So we need to be sober-minded. We need to have clear thinking. We need to examine the current realities and say, okay, if this is the world in which I live, if this is the crazy stuff that I'm surrounded with day in and day out, how am I supposed to live? I'm sober about that. I'm not, you know, putting my head in the sand or looking at the world through rose-colored glasses. I'm seeing it for exactly what it is. So I'm sober-minded. I'm thinking soberly. But in that, I can set my hope on something else. You know, oftentimes the world says, hey, we need political solutions, we need economic solutions, we need all types of solutions. And so those start being put forth as, hey, if this plan is adopted or that plan is adopted, then we can feel safe, we can feel secure, we can go about our business. And oftentimes, we as believers put our hope in those political or economic situations. But that's not the call of Peter on our lives or the call of the Word of God on our lives. It says clearly that we are to set our hope fully on the grace of God that will be brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So our hope is not in political solutions. Our hope is not in economic solutions. Our hope isn't in any of those solutions. Our hope is in Jesus. Our faith and our hope are in God, in Jesus Christ alone. Now, he's going to come, and when he comes, he's going to put all things right.
Yes.
Everything is going to be made right in Christ's timing. We can count on that. Why? Because he's promised that, and that's a part of his grace. So we can set our hopes on this grace of God. In the meantime, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. So we're going to have pressure from the world to conform to the patterns of the world. Now, we were rescued from that. We were saved from that. We were ransomed from that empty way of life. We were raised up with Christ to live a brand new life, a life where our hope is set fully on the grace of God that is to be revealed to us, a life that is lived by faith in the resurrected one who's alive and living in us. So God is calling us to live that life of faith. So as we trust the Holy One who is alive living inside of us, what's going to flow out of us is called a holy life. And that holy life looks a lot like love.
Yeah.
It looks a whole lot like love. Loving one another as God in Christ has loved us. Forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven us. Accepting one another as God in Christ has accepted us. That's what this holy life looks like, and that is a whole lot different than what's out there in the world.
Yes.
Well, what's going to happen when the world sees that kind of life coming out of us in the midst of these critical circumstances that are happening all around us? They're going to step back and wonder, what's going on with those folks? What's going on with those Christians?
Yes.
They're different. They're at peace. They're not fearful. They're not anxious. They're not letting these scary things affect how they live their lives. What's different about them? And then we have a chance to say, to give the hope that lies within Jesus Christ himself.
Yes, indeed.
So let's go about the business of entrusting ourselves to Jesus and allowing him to live through us.
Good stuff, BC. Thank you for opening the broadcast with those words. We have plenty of open lines, friends. If you're hearing the broadcast in the first half of the 3 p.m. Central Time hour, we want to hear from you, 844-322-2742. We'll offer you the opportunity to pose your question or your particular topic of interest. Again, 844-322-2742. And friends, with your gift of Basic Gospel this month, you're going to receive our brand new video series called Your Living Hope. Now, Bob and Richard have teamed up on this one to produce a video series that will help you to stand firmly in the grace of God and resist the intense pressures you face to conform to the patterns of this world. And to receive your copy of Your Living Hope, simply go online to basicgospel.net and click donate, or you can donate by phone at 844-322-2742. So don't delay. Make your donation today and receive your copy of Your Living Hope, the new video teaching series from Basic Gospel. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. And currently, the best way for those of you outside the U.S. or Canada to donate to Basic Gospel to help us keep this message on the air is through PayPal. We hope you'll take advantage of that. Well, guys, we get some very encouraging comments. Had one from Judy that I wanted to share. She said, I have been a listener for a short time and truly love your broadcast. I'm hearing so much from God's word by listening. I'm a child of God, and I thank you so much. Keep on keeping on with God's word. Amen. That's from Judy, who wrote to us through Facebook. As a matter of fact, you can pose your question through Facebook if you'd like to do that. Just go to the Basic Gospel Facebook channel. We had a question also from Tom, and I think this is a very, very good question. It concerns John 6:44, and it speaks to the issue of drawing. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. The question, does God draw, and if so, does he draw some and not others? Is it the gospel that draws? Is it an invisible force? I believe and put my faith in Jesus. Unfortunately, I was drawn to God's stuff initially and not to him until 10 years later. Thank you for your ministry. That's from Tom, who wrote to us for the Basic Gospel app.
Well, we appreciate that, and we are so tickled by this new outreach through Facebook and YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, more and more people are subscribing to our YouTube channel, and they are making themselves available to all the wonderful information, all the videos that we have there.
Yeah.
They're also joining us live for the broadcast on a daily basis. And then Facebook, it is just a wonderful way for us to reach out. We're so grateful for the platform. We're so grateful for the many people who watch and pose their questions
right.
like this.
Yeah.
Now, as far as this particular passage is concerned, you know, Jesus has talked about being the bread of life. He's fed 5,000. He's left them. They followed. And Jesus just nails them and said, you know, you're following me, not because of me, but because I fed you, because I filled up your belly, and you want more. You want more food. And then he says, here's the real food. You need to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. Now, that was a hard saying. That was a very difficult saying. It offended the sensibilities of those that were listening. And so instead of hanging around for maybe a possible another meal, many of these folks left. And Jesus looked at his disciples and said, what about you? Are you going to leave as well? And Peter answered and said, where in the world would we go, Jesus? You and you alone have the words of eternal life. Now, that's the context of this passage in verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. So how are we drawn to the Lord? Well, it's through this gospel message, this offer of life. See, what God has sent Jesus to give us is eternal life. And if you're just interested in getting your bellies full, then you're not really interested in eternal life. But there will be a point in time when you are, and then this gospel message will make sense to you. Why? Because Jesus came that you might have life and might have it to the full. So all of these miracles that Jesus did, the feeding of the 5,000, the raising of Lazarus, all of those miracles he did to point to a greater truth. So he fed 5,000, and then he said, I'm the bread of life. He raised Lazarus and then said, I am the resurrection and the life. So he's drawing people unto himself with his very teaching. He is saying, hey, look at me. I want you to come unto me, and when you come unto me, you will have everlasting life. But that takes the working of God, God the Father, God the Spirit, and God the Son in conjunction one with another to bring us to God. But it's the gospel message that calls us. It's the gospel message that offers life. If somebody rejects that, who thinks, hey, I'm just here for the good food or whatever it might be, the little goodie bag that Jesus may give us, that doesn't mean they're doomed. That doesn't mean that they have sealed their fate because they weren't interested in Jesus Christ himself at that moment in time. It just simply means that their minds were elsewhere. Well, life itself has a way of chiseling away at our pride and bringing us to that point where we cry out, how, Lord, can I be saved? At that point, we're ready to receive what God has offered us, and that's Jesus Christ himself. Richard, do you have any thoughts on this?
Well, I love that this particular verse is right after the Jews start grumbling, right? And they were grumbling exactly because he said, I am the bread of life. And then he says, don't you realize that even the prophets said they will all be taught by God? So that removes the, well, does God call some and not others argument. That we're
right.
All taught by God. The question is, when are we going to respond to that teaching? How God does that is a miracle of grace, because when I wasn't interested in God, he was still drawing me. How do I explain that other than his amazing love? And eventually I did respond, and he began to teach me more. And so this is just Jesus calling the attention to himself, like you said, I am the bread of life, and the Father will convince you of that come to me for life, and then watch what happens.
Yes.
I mean, this is going to be the most amazing journey of your life. Just come to me.
Yes.
There's no threat in it. There's no fear in it. There's only love, acceptance, and forgiveness in it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it is Basic Gospel. Again, it's still the first half of the 3 o'clock Central Time hour. We would love to hear from you. The lines are wide open at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. And, of course, we've been talking about this new DVD teaching series called Your Living Hope. And, folks, we have a copy for you with your gift to Basic Gospel this month. And, Richard, tell our listeners the purpose of this series. What's it designed to do?
Well, what Bob and I did with this was to try to open up Peter's first letter and show the hope that he was trying to apply to everyday situations. I mean, look around in your own life. I mean, what is it like at work? What is it like at school? How much pressure are you receiving from work or school or any place else, over at the gym, you know, whatever environment you find yourself in, how much pressure are you receiving to conform to what the world says is right? There's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's very overt, but most of the times it's subtle. And what Satan does with the world system is get us to just compromise a little, and then a little more, and then a little more, and then a little more. I mean, one of the easiest ways to look at how this works, and don't read too much into this, this is just an example. If you look at politics today, most of the people who are considered rabidly conservative are to the left of where John Kennedy was back in the 60s. Mm-hmm. That shows how things have changed over time, a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit the next day, and the next, and the next. Jesus is constant. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Peter caught that message. Peter, of all of the people who was impacted by the pressures of the world system, always falling on his face because he gave in to that pressure, finally learned who Jesus was, and he was reminding his readers that you're going to face this stuff. You're going to face it at home. You're going to face it at work. You're going to face it in the environment in which you live. But Jesus is sufficient to all of that.
Yeah.
He's given you the strength. He's given you the hope. Let's live in that strength and hope and not worry about the rest of this stuff.
Well, that's the premise of Your Living Hope, the new DVD series that Bob and Richard have put together just for you, friends. We hope you'll take advantage of the opportunity to get your copy. Simply go online to basicgospel.net, and with your gift this month, you're going to receive a copy of Your Living Hope. Again, basicgospel.net, click the donate button, or you can call your donation to 844-322-2742. You can do that anytime, 24 hours a day, 844-322-2742. Well, guys, a Minnesota listener wrote that his wife divorced him after 20 years of marriage and 3 wonderful children. He says that she never admitted to being an adulteress, but that was what led directly to their divorce. He says that soon she began making her partner in adultery a part of the children's lives and was now living with him and their little girls. He says that even after her adultery, countless lies, and incredible cruelty, he still wants to have a kind and honest relationship with her, but that she has not shown any hint of remorse or truthfulness through this issue. He says he is torn as to the issue of forgiveness with her and her new partner and doesn't know what God expects of him. Can you help?
Well, forgiveness is going to be the best way forward as far as he is concerned. Otherwise, bitterness is going to take root.
Yes.
And if bitterness takes root, then as Hebrews wrote, as the writer of Hebrews wrote, then you have a chance of missing out on the grace of God that can be for this particular situation. So forgiveness is the way forward. So you can release her and you can release yourself.
Yes.
And I think that's just the most powerful thing that you can do. Now, forgiveness doesn't mean that you are going to make yourself a doormat in which she can walk over at any given time. Right. That's not what forgiveness is all about. Forgiveness is simply saying, hey, you walked out on me. You divorced me. You put a knife in my heart and you twisted it and it hurt deeply and it still hurts today, but I'm releasing you from that. I am releasing you from it and I'm going to walk free from the pain of that. I'm no longer going to be identified by that. I'm no longer going to be just wallowing in that. I'm going to set my eyes on Jesus, on the forgiveness that he's given me, and I'm going to extend that graciousness, that act of kindness to you. I'm going to release you from it. Now, that's going to be the most powerful thing that you can do in this particular situation. Then at that point, just leave the results of it in God's hands. Just take it one day at a time.
Yeah.
And allow God to heal that heart of yours and allow God to start working. And just leave the results of that in his hands. Maybe in some at some point in the near future, maybe in the distant future. You might be willing to have a friendship with your ex. But don't try to push it. Don't try to make that happen. Don't try to force that to happen, because if you do, it's just going to make matters worse. So at this point, forgive. Leave it there. Mm-hmm. Don't bring it up again, and leave the results of that in God's hands.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. You know, friends, each Friday on Basic Gospel, we're discussing hard-to-understand passages of Scripture, and if you've missed it in previous weeks, you can find them in the radio archive at basicgospel.net. And if you have a particularly troublesome passage, one that's kind of tripping you up and hard to understand, we'd like to discuss it with you. Call your hard passage to 844-322-2742. Or send your hard passage question to bob@basicgospel.net, and then listen for it on one of these Friday editions as they come up. And by the way, you can also post your question on the Basic Gospel Facebook channel. That's a wonderful new venue, Bob, that we were talking about just a few minutes ago. So three wonderful ways that you can get your hard passage question to us, and we would love to address it in one of these Friday editions. And final question. This is from Carl, who wrote to us through the Basic Gospel app. He says, what does the Bible say about capital punishment?
Well, in the Old Testament, we see that capital punishment was certainly a part of the Mosaic covenant. Yes. I think God was teaching a very vivid lesson through that. The wages of sin is death. I mean, that's what he said to Adam and Eve. The day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. We see that reality. The consequences of sin is death. That's just what sin brings. So sin, left to carry out and reach its final destination, death is going to be the end of it. So through the Mosaic covenant, there were certain things that if they were done, death was the punishment of that. So I think God was teaching a very stark lesson.
Yes.
But what the gospel teaches us is that there's a power greater than death. It's the power of resurrection. It's the power of new life in Jesus Christ. So as far as capital punishment in our country, that's a country issue, isn't it? That's something that our government would decide. And here in the United States, they've given that to states.
Yes.
So states can decide what they want to do. And some states have that as a part of their law. Others do not. But I think we as Christians should always temper our understanding and our thinking about what's happening in this world by the gospel of Jesus Christ, by the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, by the mercy that he brings to all.
Yes.
So our government can make some decisions and laws, but we as believers can still rise up and say, we're going to be ministers of reconciliation. We're going to be ministers of life. We're going to be ministers of this new covenant that we have in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And so our mindset is shaped by the gospel, nothing else. And when it is, I think we can think through these issues with sober-mindedness.
Yeah, very clear-minded. Well, we love hearing from you, our listeners, and if you have a question you'd like to pose to us, you can, again, drop it to bob@basicgospel.net. You can call it to 844-322-2742, or, well, there are just many ways, through the Basic Gospel app, and just get that question to us. We'd love to hear from you. Well, please remember, friends, also that to keep the good news coming on the air, Basic Gospel needs your help and your prayers. please remember that with your donation this month in August, we have that very special new DVD series called Your Living Hope for You. Click donate at basicgospel.net, or you can phone your gift to 844-322-2742, and we'll send you a copy. That's 844-322-2742, or donate online at basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for being with us today, everybody. Now for Bob, Richard, and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.